I'd like now to welcome artists Maridel Rubenstein and Ellen Zweig. Their installation, The Portal to Archimedes' Chamber, is installed at the New Mexico Museum of Art. It's within a larger exhibition called Case Studies from the Bureau of Contemporary Art, which is works from the permanent collection of that museum. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi.
Hi.
So this piece that is owned by the museum and which is being displayed right now is part of a larger collaboration that you both worked on, what, sort of almost 20 years ago, called Critical Mass.
Yeah.
And that is about a whole lot of questions that arise from issues of the Manhattan Project, nuclear weapons, Oppenheimer, and New Mexico, and this crazy setting that we are living in. What was the inspiration for the project?
Ah. Ellen?
I can start. I came to visit Maridel here in Santa Fe. I'd never been here before, and we wanted to do something together. We were looking for subject matter, and Jerry West took us to Edith Warner's house.
And he knew Ellen had been doing work about Victorian lady travelers who photographed. She'd been doing performance works and with giant pinhole cameras. And so we were kind of looking for a subject about a woman and where we could use photography. And so Jerry said, well, we'll take you over here. And so he introduced us to Edith Warner and those stories about her. And then we began. It was a perfect story for us because Ellen's work had been about Victorian women. And my work at that point, I was really looking for a subject that had, in those days, had mythological import, but intent. But also I was trying to get in the present. I'd been doing the Labyrinths and Constellations series. And I was kind of trying to bring that work into the present. So this was a story that had amazing, possibilities.
Tell us who Edith Warner was.
Edith lived at Ottawa Bridge, the way we saw her, she was a poet. She also served Cokes and took in the mail for the Chili Line. And then later, when the Manhattan Project started, she Oppenheimer knew her. And in order to help her make money at that time, because of the Manhattan Project, the road was closed to most people, he organized dinners at her house for the scientists, for his friends, basically by invitation.
So that her home became the one place that the scientists could get off base and actually meet up with the regular people, have a real experience of New Mexico. And I think that was important to Oppenheimer anyway, in the sense that he brought the whole bomb project right to Edith's backyard when he was advised to go other places, even in the state, because he'd had such a kind of powerful experience there as a young man. And or not powerful, but he just felt very comfortable with her. And we used to take poetic license in saying that it was her, it was the whole allure of her place, her feeling of domesticity and warmth, the whole Pueblo world, and the idea that natives were doing these amazing rituals to unleash energy, that he really wanted it right there against, it was a totally impractical place to do it. It was just a mud trail going up the hill.
Now, presumably, she had no idea what these people were doing.
Absolutely not, yeah.
And yet, in your view, did she influence them in significant ways?
Well,
I think she gave them a place to rest and socialize, and also to meet the people of the Pueblo, because she lived with a man named Tulano Montoya. People of the Pueblo were often around her house. The scientists, we were particularly interested in that meeting. That was a powerful thing to us.
See, they were very young. You know, when you think, it's hard to remember this, but they were just, many of them just out of graduate school. But Edith was older, and she was particularly close to Niels Bohr, who visited, who was not part of the Manhattan Project, but was as old as she was. And at least in our thinking, it was like the two of them had a sense of time and ramifications, the things that could happen, whereas the rest of the scientists weren't really able at that point to think ahead at all. So,
now, why is the piece called Archimedes' Chamber, or The Portal to Archimedes' Chamber?
I wrote a text called If Archimedes, Which is the text that's in the sound piece of the piece at the museum. I was reading about Archimedes, who made great brass mirrors directing the sun to burn the approaching Roman ships to save his city, the city of Syracuse. And I realized that nobody ever said that he was an evil guy. And yet people were always saying that Oppenheimer was an evil guy. So I didn't want to answer this question. I just wanted to ask the question. Which is, if Archimedes made these weapons and people remember him as a hero who saved his city, then why can't we think of Oppenheimer that way? On the other hand, if Oppenheimer is an evil guy who made this horrible weapon, why can't we think of Archimedes that way? So it's just a question that I wanted to put out there. It's sort of a question about history and how we
view
it.
It's a weird parallel, too, because Archimedes got killed by Roman soldiers. Mm. And Oppenheimer got, if not killed, pretty
ill,
pretty ruined by his own government.
Yeah.
So with a piece like this, the audience comes to it, they hear your poetry, they see images of Edith Warner, of mushroom clouds, of Oppenheimer, mm-hmm. of teacups, of, you know, the domestic mm-hmm. things of New Mexico landscapes. It seems very, very suggestive without trying to make any one point. It's sort of giving you a lot of things to take home with you.
We had, in the midst of our collaboration, you know, that was a big, discussion we had. We weren't taking sides. There's another piece called The Meeting that presents the scientists on one side and the native people on the other. We can talk about that in a minute, but they're just, everyone's there together. And what you do come away with is here are these famous people and here are these ordinary people. You know, people that made history, people that supposedly didn't, and everybody's there equally, as well as in the dinner. The video play that we have.
What's the nature of that meeting?
In the meeting, so there's several pieces in the larger Critical Mass show that are about their actual meeting of these two groups of people. And so Oppenheimer got Edith to turn her home into a little cafe, and younger people from the Pueblo were the waiters. Her partner Chilano grew the food, and dinners were served, so people actually met there. In addition, many of the older people of the Pueblo were housekeepers, some people, you know, attendants, technicians, whatever. So we were looking for stories where people exchanged. It came together. And in the one piece of the meeting, what happens is on one wall are portraits of living Manhattan Project scientists, and on the other wall, people who were living at that point, 1993, who in some way met. Either they met as, you know, servers of the dinners, or in one case, Louis Naranjo helped liberate death camps and then came back and brought the vigas to build. And we didn't tell you the story yet, but there's Edith, everyone knows, and at least in Santa Fe, the house at Ottawa Bridge, but many don't know that after the war, the Manhattan Project was a hidden city, and after the war it became Los Alamos, so the road then was widened and went right through Tilano's garden right next to the house, so they needed to move. And so scientists, the Pueblo offered land on the other side of the road, and the scientists offered materials, and the two groups got together every weekend to build. There are lots of stories about that, but the point being that this was another example. So in this piece, The Meeting, they all knew each other from this experience. And so interlaced like a checkerboard are objects with the scientists' objects that went into the making of the first bomb, or objects that Pueblo people chose to represent them. And in the middle is a video where an old woman braids and unbraids her hair. And so it's this weaving is what we were interested in. The same thing happens again in the dinner, the video play that Ellen wrote.
What was the collaboration between the two of you like?
It was great. I mean, we had a great time. Let me start by saying that when we met, I was a poet and performance artist, but I was also making performances. I was making camera obscuras. Meridel was a photographer. I saw her incredible Labyrinth series and just thought that visual power was something that I wanted to connect with. We also involved the Vasulkas, and I always say Woody and Stana taught me video. I am now a video artist. So making the videos with Meridel, with the technical help of Stana and Woody, that got me to where I am today. So the collaboration, sometimes it would be that I was writing, Maridel was taking photographs. So sometimes it would be separate. Sometimes it would be that we were working on a video together, really together, every decision made together. Overall, the concepts were always decided together.
Yeah, it was wonderful. This is the happiest time of my life.
Really?
Yeah, it was absolutely great.
So what's it like? We've just got less than a minute left, but what's it like to now see that one piece of the larger installation in the museum all these years later?
I think that's a big question. That's a big question, because we haven't seen it since December 1996.
Because they acquired it then.
Yeah, and so we were so worried. You know, we were worried about the technology, and we've had some technical problems that we're fixing, but so to get through this and actually see it again and have it at least speak to us is just fantastic.
Yeah, I think it holds up.
Yeah, we think it holds up.
We hope it does.
We wanted it to hold up, and we think it probably does.
Maridel Rubenstein and Ellen Zweig are artists whose installation, The Portal to Archimedes' Chamber, which is part of a larger piece called Critical Mass, is right now at the New Mexico Museum of Art. It's in their exhibition, which is called Case Studies from the Bureau of Contemporary Art. It's a lot of work from their permanent collection, all sorts of very famous artists that we have in our permanent collection at the New Mexico Museum of Art. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz. Mm-hmm.